That's how he starts this chapter, but then he goes on into the whole chapter is about the tongue and words and what we say and how we say it and the power of the tongue. So he says, hey, those of you that want to be a master, that word just means teacher. It's like the Lord was called a rabbi oftentimes, and master, teacher, rabbi, same thing. So James said, you want to be a teacher and all of that, you might want to think about it because there's going to be a greater judgment for these folks. So let's read a few more verses here, and then we'll explain them tonight. All right, in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Let me stop right there. He said the perfect person is the person that can control his tongue or her tongue. Do you know any perfect people? Well, I'll tell you, he did. He grew up with one, Jesus, right? Could you imagine being Jesus' brother growing up? You thought your brother was perfect or your sibling was perfect. Jesus really was. And what he had to say was always the right thing, the right way, and the right tone, the right manner. Think about that. Do you always say the right thing with the right tone, the right manner? Do y'all do that? Do y'all ever, put your foot in your mouth, or you ever say, why'd I say that? Or do you say that came out wrong? Or do you say, well, I know, it sounds like I'm angry, but I'm really not. And things like that. We all do that, I do believe, and we have that. So the only person, he said, if anybody can really control their words and their tongue and the way they speak and talk, they'd be a perfect person. So we know there are no perfect people anyway other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a pretty big, statement to make right there. So he said there in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. Now we might all just all stay right there. Well, that's me. I have been known to offend some people. I have been known to say some things that weren't the right things or said in the right manner or the right way and all of that kind of stuff. So in verse 2 again, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. I mean, you just got it all together if you can control your tongue. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So that little bit in the tongue controls the whole body of a powerful horse. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Just a small rudder will turn that giant ship. Isn't that amazing? Something little controlling something so big and so great. Something small in the horse's mouth allows you to control that powerful animal and steer it in the right direction. You by controlling the tongue or the mouth of that horse, you've controlled the whole body of the horse. And then the little rudder does the same for a ship. All right, verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little a member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Can a small spark start a whole forest fire? Yeah, something small. A little fire, a little kindling, a little spark can just set off a whole forest fire there. So he says the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. You ever seen little small people or small children even just run off the mouth and tell you, boy, they tell you what they can do. They're big time, right? And you're like, there's a lot of words coming out of that small, person or mouth. And they're big mouth, little person. It's kind of, it can boast a lot of things. All right, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's a powerful, perverse tongue right there. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, or same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's stop right there. Now, the tongue sometimes will make a hypocrite out of you, is what he's saying there, because oftentimes words and deeds don't match. You do say that's hypocrisy if somebody claims, and he's already talked about people in this book who claim to be religious or claim to be saved, but yet their life does not match that. So he's saying, hey, you're blessing God one moment and cursing a man that was made by God the next moment. He said it ought not be like that. Salt water, fresh water out of the same fountain doesn't work like that. He's saying our words and our deeds and the things that we say and the things that we do, it all ought to match up, right? We ought to practice what we preach is the idea here. So, let me read verse 13 here real quick. He said, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So now he moves on to talk about wisdom. Verse 14, this is what I want to look at. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In your hearts, I think, is a key verse. All right, a key phrase. Now, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Sometimes, you get in arguments and you say things, you say I didn't mean it, but a lot of times that's what was in your heart. Oh my, oh me, right? And sometimes what's in the heart comes out of the mouth when it shouldn't and it need not to. And it kindles, that little fire kindles a great, great argument, doesn't it? It hurts. And it causes many problems. So I think the power of the tongue, we know that. But I think what he's saying there, in your hearts, it depends on whether our heart is right with God or wrong with God as to what comes out of the mouth. At the moment that we say things we ought not say, we got to kind of back up and say, Lord, is my heart not where it ought to be with you and this person that I'm talking to? We have to back up and see if our heart is where it needs to be at all. So, back in chapter 1, verse 19, look at that real quick. Chapter 1, 19. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Chapter 3, basically, that would be a premise verse or basis verse for chapter 3. That we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I said this morning, an angry man is seldom a reasonable man, and a reasonable man is seldom an angry man or person. And that verse right there, sometimes, I think what I said in verse 1, basically, he said, hey, y'all want to teach so bad, maybe you ought to learn to listen. You'd be better off. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. So, does anybody in here agree and think that the tongue can be a world of iniquity? And we can talk about the profanity of the world. It's bad. We can talk about the anger of the world that's spewing out in politics and everything else. We got a lot of angry politicians in our country, don't we? I mean, they hate and despise the other side, don't they? And you can tell it in what they say. You can tell it in their words. But it's not just them. It's everywhere, right? There is a lot of hatred, a lot of anger. And how do we know? Because of what we hear people say. That is a good guide of what's going on, right? With a, inside a person is what they're saying there. So just thinking about what he's saying here, really, if you can control that, you're a perfect person. Only Jesus could do that. He says here, small things are control big things. And the tongue, unfortunately, controls man. And unfortunately, sometimes, because the tongue is out of control, the person is out of control. Because he said it's the tongue and the whole body, right? So sometimes it's all out of whack. It's all out of control. And it's not where it needs to be. And it makes hypocrites out of us because words and deeds don't match up. All right? So, I want us to now look at the end of the chapter, though. The end of the chapter is where he kind of shifts gears a little bit from our foolish talk to our wise conduct. Now, that's important. We can do a lot of foolish talking, but we need to maybe be quiet and concentrate on some wise conduct, right? So we want to focus on this part of it right here. By the way, you know the way to wisdom is to follow Jesus. Amen, right? Y'all believe that? Learn to follow the Lord, and that's the way to wisdom right there. All right, I'm going to give you three thoughts. Let me give you my first point, and then we'll look at these verses. Number one, I just want to give you this tonight. Have a wise mouth. A wise mouth, and I don't mean in a smart aleck kind of a way, right? Have a wise mouth, okay? We need to have that in our life. Before I get into those verses, let me say, I mentioned this recently. 2 Corinthians 13:10 says, for edification and not destruction. Have a wise mouth. You know, we need to ask ourselves is, what is the things that I'm saying, are they building up other people or tearing down other people? Now, you like to be encouraged. Y'all with me tonight? Anybody like to be encouraged? Does anybody like to be praised? Do children enjoy being praised for doing a good thing, right? It's not just kids, it's you, right? You enjoy somebody saying you did a good job. You enjoy somebody saying, I appreciate you, I like you, I like what you do. You never outgrow that, honestly, do you, right? You never outgrow that. You want to be liked, you want to be appreciated. That is true. Our words, we have to all learn. Now, we all know how to criticize. We all know how to backbite. We all know how to gossip. You say, preacher, I don't do those things. I said, you know how to do them, though, right? And sometimes we actually do those things even when we don't realize it. And we're quick to do those things sometimes. So we have to back up and say, are my words for edification or are they bent towards destruction? I mean, that's what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 13, that he wanted his words to edify and build up and encourage and help people, not as James had already said early in the chapter, not to offend, but to help people, right? So we want our words to do that. So our goal is should never be to offend. It should be to help. Amen? Y'all agree with that? And let me give you this. You need to ask yourself, remember, slow to speak, right? Swift to hear, listen, slow to speak. While you're being slow to speak, ask yourself something. Here's a series of questions. Is it wise, what I'm about to say? Is it kind? How about this one? Is it necessary? Do we ever say some unnecessary things? You say, yeah, preachers do it all the time. Just get on with the point, you know. There's a lot of unnecessary stuff up there, you know, but No, honestly, is it necessary to say? Is it profane? Is it going to give glory to God or not? Is it true? Is it encouraging? Now, those are good things to ask before we speak, right? Is this going to help somebody? You might ask yourself this, why do I want to share this? Why do I want to tell this? Somebody told me the other day, I've been told about a preacher in South Carolina. I've been told by one of his church members, I'm surprised. He says too much stuff sometimes. He talks about people and says more stuff than he ought to say. Anyway, maybe you've said that about me. I don't know. But I've heard this church member say this about that pastor. He just surprises me. He says stuff he ought not to say. Well, somebody told me the other day, they ran into that preacher's wife, and that preacher's wife told them something, and they said, I can't believe she told me that. I said, well, she must be just like her husband then. I guess they're both doing it, right? They both are saying things about people they ought not be saying. So why do I want to share this piece of information anyway? Is it true what I'm sharing? Is it boastful for me? Is it going to lift me up in their eyes while I tear down somebody else? Is it boastful? Who does it help? Now, usually it's self-serving, right? We say it because it's self-serving. And not others serving. But so anyway, I think those are pretty good things to think about. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Heaviness is in the heart." Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. A heavy heart makes a person burdened down, but a good word makes the heart glad. Right. That good word that came along while you were about to crumble under the burden and the pressure and the heartache, a good word came along from somebody, and boy, that lifted your spirits. That helped you out, right? And by the way, I'm reading these out of Proverbs, and there's a ton more in Proverbs about what we say. Matter of fact, I've already said James is almost a counterpart book in the New Testament to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. So the Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Now, Proverbs 15:26 says, "The thoughts of a wicked man are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." He said, even the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to God, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. The words of the righteous, the words of the saints, the words of those who are pure in heart are pleasant. Proverbs 16 says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." Now I said, point number one, have a wise mouth. That verse right there says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth." Can you think about that? Now get that. You've got a wise heart, and what does your heart do? It teaches your mouth. Did you know that's in the Bible? I already said what comes out of the mouth was already in the heart. And you can, to be slow to speak and ask these questions, then your heart can teach your mouth. That's a pretty amazing statement in the Bible, I think. Have you ever thought about teaching your mouth? Have you ever thought, I need to teach my mouth to be nicer, you know? The heart is the one that does that. The heart, he said, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. I think, well, that's a pretty powerful verse right there in Proverbs 16:23. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. And it's the heart that tells the mouth. You say, well, it's my mind. I'm giving them a piece of my mind. Let's go back to, is our heart where it ought to be too? Amen. I'll give them a piece of my mind, and it's coming from my heart, too. Well, you want it to come from your heart, but you want your heart to be wise. He said, the heart of the wise. So this is definitely, I think, what God teaches us to do with our words. Be wise with our words. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I think the idea of that is we probably say too much. And there's some times when maybe we ought not say it. I told y'all all to come back tonight. We'd all get under conviction together. Amen, right? Because this right here does speak to our hearts about what we say. So have a wise mouth. All right, number two, I want to say this. Show a wise testimony. Show a wise testimony. All right, let's get into this. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All right, what is he need to do? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, show is where I'm getting the idea of a testimony is a show. People can see your good works, glorify your Father which art in heaven, right? People can see your life. They can see your testimony. We talked about that in the last chapter, by the way. God sees your heart, but people see your works, which reveal your faith, right? God sees your faith and your heart. People see your heart and your faith by your works. So he's saying here, conversation is your manner of life. And he says his works with meekness of wisdom. All right, now, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show a good testimony, is what I think he's saying there. Not to be a show-off, not to be a know-it-all. Who among you is a wise man endued with knowledge? Stand up, let us hear you. Now, he says, if that's you, just show us. You don't have to tell us. Hey, if somebody's always telling you about what they are, truth of the matter is they don't have to tell you. You watch them and you already know what they are, right? So he said, be meek, not boastful. Be wise. Show it in your works. Show a wise testimony. He's saying here, don't be a show off, but let your light so shine. Let the blessings flow out of your life. People are going to see that. Now a lot of people are showing off their perverseness. I mean, perversion is on parade in society, right? People are showing off about how perverse they can be in word and life. In word and conversation. The word conversation is not just what we say, it's our manner of life. And he used the word our works. People are showing off how profane they can be. They're showing off how defiled their heart is and how they live their life, right? You see it. By their fruits, you do know them, right? I think that's what he's saying here. But he's saying for us, we need to show the light of God. We need to show the blessings of the Lord. We need to show the love of God, right? We need to show the concern and compassion of God. So I think he's saying here, you need to not just have a wise mouth, you need to show a wise testimony. You need to speak up and show out for God, is the idea there. Now, have you ever heard it said, you are the only Bible some people will ever read? And what that means is, it's not just what they hear you say, it's what they watch you do, right? They may never read this Bible, but they just might look at your life and learn that God is good and that God is love. You know, I mentioned recently about a missionary that was in one of these deep jungles, and he said these people had no concept of care and compassion. He said they would leave their loved ones injured on the side of the road and just move on about their business. He said they had no concept of compassion. He, as a missionary, as a Christian, he would go help the injured person. He would go help this individual. He would, whatever was lacking and whatever was needed that nobody else cared about, he would go meet the need. He said after a while, they took notice. And it was lifestyle evangelism. They actually asked him, hey, why do you do this? Why do you care for us? Why do you meet these needs? And then he was able to teach them about Christ. By the way, I would imagine that missionary probably, first chance he got, preached on the Good Samaritan too and showed them from the story of Jesus about how a despised person even loved and cared. Why? He was showing a good testimony. He was showing them what the Lord was like. So what those people learned from him were what they learned was the ways of the Lord. So he's showing a good testimony in that sense. You know, some people have come to know the Lord just simply because a Christian showed them kindness. Some folks have gotten saved just because somebody cared. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? Sow in tears when they see the compassion, when they see the love of Christ, it affects their heart, right? And then they can be touched for the Lord. So show a good testimony. Now, I think it's this idea as well. deeds or good deeds speak louder than words. Y'all believe that? Another phrase is this, and I've never liked it, but it's whenever somebody says, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. I've never liked that. I'm like, well, you're going to sit down and listen. I'm supposed to preach, all right? No. No, but what it means is, I want to see a life that backs up what you're saying. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. That actually is pretty powerful, and I think that's what he's talking about right there. Because, again, people can say things, but it doesn't match up with how they live. I've said it before. If you're going to witness to people, you need to have a testimony that they can see as well. The Lord has changed your life, and the Lord is working in your life, and the Lord is present in your life. They need to see that before they'll listen to what you're telling them. So, yeah, there is something to I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Well, the fact of the matter is, if they see it, they might get around to where they want to hear about it. So I believe that's what he means here. It's not just about your words now. It's about show out of a good conversation his works. Show out of a good manner of life and what you do. Be wise and meek, and people will see the Lord in that. I've never liked the idea of lifestyle evangelism like I mentioned a moment ago, but that missionary needed to do it. You say, what is lifestyle missionary? Lifestyle evangelism. That means I'm just going to live good, live like Jesus, and then people are going to come ask me why, and then I'll get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Now, I honestly don't think that's very biblical, because not many people are coming to us saying, hey, tell me about Jesus. We're told to go to them. But now, in the case of that missionary, that's what he had to do first. He had to show them Christ before he could tell them about Christ. And that may be true with your coworker. That may be true with your classmate. That may be true with a family member. They need to see it before they're willing to hear it. Right? They don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Same concept. So I guess this verse right here, verse 13, would be a good basis for these statements that we're talking about. You say, well, you know, where's that in the Bible? You know, deeds speak louder than words. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And all, probably right there in verse 13. Because he says, show a testimony. And after talking about slow to speak, show a testimony, right? So anyway, have a wise mouth. Show a wise testimony. And then number three, follow the wise Savior. Follow the wise Savior. Now, the rest of these verses are pretty powerful. He says a lot. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. All right? This is Christian people here now. Don't glory in your envying and your strife. Don't glory. Don't boast in that. And don't lie against the truth. All right? Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. We've already preached a sermon on that because he dealt with it in chapter 2. And without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, those verses right there might just be better read in our midst. Just hear what James says right there. I'm not going to try to explain every phrase, but I tell you, he packs a lot in that. We could stay there for a while and the things that he talked about. But I tell you, if there's strife and envying in a church, there's no unity. You know that, right? If there's strife among us, if there's strife between you and another brother or sister in Christ, if there's envying in your heart, that's not wise, and you're not going to say good stuff about them or to them, right? boasting and bashing is of the world, right? Boasting and bashing is of the world. Let me go that way. It's of the world. But grace and meekness is over here, the Word, right? If all, you know, people are boasting in the world all the time. Sports people, celebrities, they'll tell you how great they are, right? They'll tell you how great they are. They'll tell you how good they are. There's bashing all the time. We hear it in the news all the time. Somebody's bashing somebody, right? Somebody's always, putting somebody down. But you know, he says that's earthly. That's sensual. That's devilish. That's not from above. You didn't get that from heaven. You didn't get that from Jesus. What did I say? Follow the wise Savior who came down from heaven, right? He said, you didn't get that from heaven. You didn't get that from Jesus. You got that down here on the earth. Sensual. Devilish. I mean, these are pretty good words he's using here. That's the humanistic philosophy of this earth that doesn't want God or doesn't want His Word or doesn't want His ways, doesn't want His wisdom. It's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about what feels good. That's what sensuality is. It's not about, it's not, you see, you didn't get that from up there. That didn't come down from heaven into your heart, right? He said, boy, you got that from down here on this earth. And he said, it's confusion. It's evil work. All right, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. Amen. He describes this, boy, it's pure and peaceable. It's gentle and it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is sown in peace. Those are good. James is pretty smart. You know what you say? I say that, but you know what? You know what's going on there? That's the Holy Spirit. That's it, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows the difference between what is devilish and sensual and earthly and what is from above, right? I tell you what, if we get down on our knees and we get in the presence of God and we soak up that which is from above instead of that which was down here on the earth, it'll change us. It'll change our heart, which will change our words, which will change our heart, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, right? I tell you, if we're just soaking up what this world gives us in their music and their media, we're just soaking up what the world gives us, that's how lost people live. You know what we're to do? We're to soak up that which is from above. You know what? This is the Word. That's from above right there. Amen? Jesus is from above. He came down from heaven and we received Him in our heart. We got this from above, right? I tell you, I think it's pretty powerful what we get from the world and what we get from the Word. He shows the difference right here, doesn't He? Peace without partiality, that we've already talked about that and preached on that. Good fruits. Verse 18, I'm drawn to that. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness. Well, that's going to be the things, I believe that's right there in verse 17, the fruit of the righteous. And it's going to be sown in a peaceful manner of the peacemakers. Did Jesus talk about that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5? Are we peacemakers? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're full of envy and strife, you're not a peacemaker, right? Does the church have unity? Peace? I mean, he's just giving us the opposites here, right? Now, you could say it like Paul said in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit so not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit gives you that which is from above, whereas the flesh gives you that which is earthly and sensual and devilish, right? That's the contrast. So, we're saying here, we're talking about the trouble with words. Well, I think the trouble with words is sometimes we don't have a wise heart that is right with God. Y'all agree with that? Y'all there? Amen? If we get a wise heart that's right with God, guess what? We won't have as much trouble with our words. Amen or oh me, right? I'm preaching to me too. So the trouble with our words, it's in our heart. So I said that's a key phrase there in verse 14 about your hearts. What's in your hearts there? You know, words can have long-term harm and damage. You ever been scarred by words? Sticks and stones, you know? Words never hurt me. That is a lie, right? Verbal abuse, harshness, criticism, critical attitude and spirit, that scars, doesn't it? It really does. But words can also have a long-term effect in a good way. It can be good or evil, right? Again, I imagine growing up with Jesus, you know, a heap coals of fire upon their head, right? I mean, Jesus killed them with kindness, probably. Just that was his nature. I mean, he's like, man, can you imagine? I mean, he's talking about, he grew up with Jesus. So I think he knows what he's talking about firsthand. If you follow the wise Savior, it'll help you out. Amen? Jesus wasn't critical, but Jesus didn't probably have to say much for them to be under conviction growing up. Now, Jesus said this, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Jesus said that, right? Do y'all get the idea a lot of Christians have never read that? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, in the midst of wolves. Your sheep, in the midst of wolves. Jesus did not retaliate. He did not come to fight. He came to save. Amen? Now you say, I don't like that. I want to be able to speak up and stand up for myself. That's fine. But I tell you what, as we said before, you can take a strong position with a sweet disposition. Right? Be gracious. Be kind. We need to practice these things and ask the Lord to help us every day. Be gracious. It's not our nature. It may not come natural. That's not our sin nature. It may not be the nature of our makeup. I just say what I think and I'm going to be honest about it. And I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. You know, we all are kind of a little bit like that, right? So anyway, the Lord will help us with this. Now, look, a lot of this, let me say this and I'll be done. A lot of this is towards one another in the church, but a lot of it also is towards those that are without the church. Because how they look at you and me is how they see the Lord, right? And that's why sometimes they'll say, well, I thought the Lord was loving, but you Christians, y'all aren't very loving like Him, right? And whether they see us fighting amongst ourselves or fighting with them. So what James says here is pretty powerful stuff. And it's something that we just have to ask God to help us with every day, every minute of the day. By the way, look, you need to control your tongue every waking moment. Unless you're just not around anybody, but even then, sometimes you need to, right? But yeah, I don't have much problem with it when I'm asleep, I don't think I do. But when I'm awake, I got to always, Lord, help me with this, to say the right thing, the right way, the right manner, the right tone, right? And may God help us to do that. And anyway, so have a wise mouth, show a wise testimony, let it back up, be backed up with your life. But the key is follow the wise Savior. And you won't boast and bash like the world, but you'll have grace and meekness like the Word and like the Savior. Amen? May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads tonight as we think about this. Powerful, powerful passage of Scripture that deals with where we live every day.